Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we're in the book of Colossians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and get the Colossians study guide to help you dig deeper. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome back to our study in the book of Colossians, ladies. Today we're in day 10, and I've titled this lesson, Walk the Walk. Today we'll be reading in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11, and also in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 5, verse 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is at, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Paul now appeals to the reader to live in a way that pleases God. If you have been raised with Christ, you should act like it. There should be a change in you, in your desires, in your behavior, in your mindset. As Paul Washer has said, if anyone says they have a new relationship with Jesus, the question to ask is if they have a new relationship with sin, too. Why? Because if they truly have a new relationship with Jesus, they will hate the sin they once loved and want to be rid of those sins. They won't go on sinning without any concern for the fact that they are sinning. Our focus shouldn't be on temporal things, but on eternal. Seek the things above, not the things on the earth. This is so important to ponder with the way our world is going, ladies. This life is truly nothing but a passing breath. This is merely the training ground for eternity. There are no second chances after you die. Contrary to what certain religions teach, you cannot do anything to rescue any soul, yours or someone else's, from hell. If they aren't in heaven when they die, they never will be. Purgatory doesn't exist. Nothing you can do will change that. Knowing that, knowing that our citizenship is not on the earth, we should act like it. We should care less about what men think and more about what God thinks. We should be concerned with what pleases him and brings him glory. If you are truly in Christ, you have died and are dying to these passions and lusts of the flesh. We are to put to death those passions, not limit them, kill them. Remember, you are no longer your own. You were bought with a price, and your life is hidden with his in God. Think about that. If you are no longer your own master, that should impact the way you live. If I realize that what I do reflects on my master for good or bad, shouldn't I, if I love my master, strive to do what pleases him? Shouldn't I repent when what I do brings shame on his name? Shouldn't my goal be not to elevate myself, but to lift up his name? Suddenly it doesn't matter so much if people call me names when I adhere to what Scripture calls me to. It doesn't matter because the only one I want to please is God. One day he will appear, and when he does, we also will appear with him in glory. Yea, God! Your mediator is interceding for you at the right hand of the throne of God. He stands with and for you, and your life is not your own. Your life belongs to him. That's why Paul tells us in Romans 12 to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Our lives should not be about us, about how much glory we can get, but about God and how much glory he gets, even if that means that no one ever knows our names. Charles Spurgeon says, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he hoped that when people saw him that they didn't think, "Wow, there's a man who can preach so eloquently," but rather that they would hear him and think, "There is a man who, when he speaks, I don't notice him, but he makes much of God." Now, I could speak eloquently and entertain the masses, but if my words are not giving God glory, pointing everyone back to him at every turn, then my words mean nothing. Period. Because of this, because you are dead to your sin, we should be putting to death what is earthly in us. Remember, if you don't have a new relationship with sin, you don't have a new relationship with Jesus, right? Well, Paul is about to give us two lists of sins. The first one is a list that relates to God, to idolatry. The second is a list of sins that are relational in nature between people. We're not going to look too deeply into these. We can look at those another time. But in general, we are going to just briefly look at each of these sins mentioned here. Sexual immorality. Ladies, this is any sexual activity, be it vicariously, like pornography, or directly, that happens outside of the marriage bed. Hebrews warns us to keep the marriage bed pure. Any sexual activity outside of marriage is sin. Period. And we should be putting that to death in us, not justifying it because our culture makes it easy. Impurity. This is a broad one, but in the context with the things surrounding it on the list, this is likely talking about impurity in a sexual context too. Again, anything that defiles the marriage bed is impurity. Remember, marriage is meant to point us to God, to our relationship with Christ. We are his bride, right? Well, then impurity includes what Ephesians 5 refers to as obscenity and coarse joking. Yeah, those ribald jokes, those are inappropriate and should have no part in your life. We need to be vigilant to protect our eyes and ears and minds, taking our thoughts captive to Christ. Passion. Again, this is speaking specifically at this point about sexual passion. The Greek word is pathos, and it's also used in Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. Get the picture? Evil desire. Seems pretty self-explanatory, right? In both the specific context of sexual desire and in general. Desiring what is evil means you're not part of God. 1 John says we cannot claim to walk in the light while embracing these deeds of darkness. If we love the world or anything in the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. Ouch! Think about that the next time someone cuts you off in traffic and you get angry and think about all the things that you hope happen to them. We are called to bless our enemies, to bless and not curse. We are not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with a blessing, because that is what we are called to, so we can inherit a blessing. If we continue to repay evil for evil without repenting, or to desire evil to happen to others, you're demonstrating that you're not part of God. Covetousness, which is idolatry. It's true. Anything that you covet, you're holding up as of more value and import than everything else. You make an idol out of that thing that you are coveting, and you will obsess over it, how to get it, how unfair it is that you don't have it while so-and-so does, etc. Covetousness is idol worship, and our hearts are idol factories. We must be on the lookout for covetousness in our lives so we don't fall into that trap anymore. It is because of these earthly things that God is coming in his wrath. Yes, the same God in the Old Testament who came in wrath when his people disobeyed him is the God of the New Testament. He is unchanging. He is eternal. And one day, that will be made perfectly clear when his Son returns. Either you will face God's wrath firsthand, or you will be covered with Christ's blood, and he will have already paid the price for the wrath that was due you. He paid that on the cross. But before we get boastful, we must remember that we too once walked in those ways. We are all in the same sin boat. Yet, now that we know Christ, we must put all those earthly things away. And again, Paul gives us a list of examples. This is not meant to be a comprehensive list of sins here. It's just an example of what he's talking about. And let's be honest, in this little list, every single one of us can relate to at least one, if not more, of these sins. And that's what they are, sin. No more sugarcoating sin, no more excusing it. Anger. Now, remember, anger itself isn't really the problem. James warns us that in our anger, we should not sin. Anger isn't a sin, but what anger leads to 99% of the time is. So watch it. Watch your anger, and when your anger controls you instead of you controlling your anger, repent. Ask for forgiveness. Malice. This is an ugly one. Malice means to desire evil for another person. You tell me, does that sound God-honoring to you? No? Me neither. Even those who hate you or hate God, we should have compassion on them, not malice. Knowing what eternity they are truly heading for, we should be doing everything we can to pray for them and to point them to God as we can, as they'll allow. Some people are so hateful toward God that you can't do much before a literal fight might break out. Wrath. Wrath is anger on steroids. Wrath is the outpouring of anger based on a perceived or an actual wrong. Now, when the wrath of God is being poured out, he's in the right. We have actually wronged him. Whenever we sin, he is always the most offended party because he is holy and we are not. But my wrath may or may not have anything to do with what reality is, and regardless, vengeance is not mine to repay. Wrath has no place in my life. Slander. Speaking of someone in a manner that is designed to cause injury to them personally or to their reputation. The majority of the time that slander happens, we are slandering someone in order to repay an evil we have perceived they have inflicted on us. Again, this has no place in the life of a Christian. Obscene talk. Keep the potty humor in the potty and keep your mind off the sexual innuendos and crass jokes that are so prevalent in our world today. Ephesians 5 says the same thing, and it says that these things, this type of talk, is out of place. Our mouths should be giving forth thanksgiving, not obscenity. And for those of you who think, well, this swear word wasn't a swear word 100 years ago, it's not really a bad word, so it's really okay if I say it, you're fooling yourself. Yes, culture will hijack words and turn a word that once had a very common meaning into a swear word. But you need to understand that once that has happened, once the association for that word is something degrading and depraved, it shouldn't cross your lips. Even if the word isn't inherently evil, you continuing to speak in a manner that is out of place and lacks reverence, that's out of place. Lies. I think this has a double meaning. Do not justify your sins. Don't hide your sins either. It must be exposed to the light so that it can be dealt with. And don't lie to others about their sin either. Call it what it is and expose it. Don't excuse it. Even if they say you're judgmental, even if they say you're a legalist, point them back to Scripture and then step out of the discussion before it becomes a foolish quarrel. We aren't helping anyone when we allow them to go on sinning and don't shine the light of God's truth on their actions. We are renewed, which is an ongoing transformation, not a one-time event, in knowledge after the image of our Creator. Not Jew, not Greek, not circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Christ is our identity in all, and he is all. Now, the Scythian comment doesn't mean much to us today, but at that time, the Scythians were a violent people thought to be undereducated, uncivilized, and inferior to pretty much everyone else. But Christ binds us all together in unity and love without cultural or racial prejudice. Now, lest you think that this passage is an anomaly calling out these sins, let's go ahead and look at the parallel passages from Ephesians, starting in Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 5, 6. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. As I look at these passages today, the thing that strikes me is how contrary to the culture of the time and to today's culture that this description from Paul is. Not to join in with the ribald joking, to actually be concerned with sexual purity and to have a definition of that from Scripture, not from the world, to repent of our covetous natures, seeing that we make idols out of everything, to refuse to take revenge or even to desire revenge on those who wronged you. Now, remember, vengeance and justice are two different things, and we are given civil laws to protect us all from rampant evil doing. So if someone steals your car, go ahead and report it. But vengeance is not ours, ever. Not to speak ill of others with the intent of making them look bad or winning people to your side. Again, there is a time and a place to warn someone about false teachers, and there is a time and a place to warn about dangerous behavior you have seen. But are we limiting our speech to these things, or are we slandering everyone who offends us for whatever reason? Ladies, if we are truly in Christ, if we have truly met him and bent our knee to him, we won't be unchanged. There will be change in us because you can't come away from an encounter with the living God and be the same. These lists that Paul gives us aren't intended to be used to check off whether you are a good person or not, because none of us are good. However, if, as you look at this list, you see behaviors or desires in your life that you know are not honoring to God, examine yourself to be sure that you are in the faith, according to 2 Corinthians 13:5. Read through 1 John and see, and answer honestly as you look at those tests that show where your true loyalty lies. If you find that you are not in the faith, don't wait another second. Ask God to change your heart. Admit you need saving and ask him to save you. Cry out to him and let him change you. Our desire as followers of Christ should be for his glory, and our love should be for his word. And we should grow in our desire to please him simply because he is worthy to be praised, not because we get anything out of it. Who are you serving today? Yourself or God? Ladies, you will find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website, naomistable.com, lesson 10, Walk the Walk.